Good morning, everybody. Morning. Welcome to EMP. My name is Cardia, and I'm so happy to share the word today. Let's pray together before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, God. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that we can come together today to hear your word and to celebrate your resurrection to Jesus. We thank you for bringing us through the book of John as you reveal yourself to us. Help us, Lord, to see you and encounter you this morning. God, I also want to pray for myself that these words will not be my own, but will be yours. Use me as your vessel to share this news today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 20. I'll be reading from John 20, verses 1 to 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had come to the tomb first, then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Amen. So there are actually two separate parts to this message, so I'll separate them and I'll bring them together again at the end. The first was John and Peter's reaction to the empty tomb, and the second was Mary. I have to say, when I was reading this passage, I noticed that Mary ran a lot. She went from her home to the tomb to Peter back, and then after that back to the disciples. Wow, what a morning workout she must have had. So yesterday we left off, this is part one, with Jesus being buried in the tomb. A few days later, Mary came with a few other women, and they were going to anoint the body of Christ. But when they arrived, the stone was already rolled away, and the tomb was empty. But in a panic, Mary ran and told the disciples what happened. In verse 4, we see the infamous race between John and Peter. I think I always find this passage really funny because John really wanted to memorialize the fact that he ran faster. I guess it's not enough that John was already the beloved. He had to be the faster one too. In verses 8 to 10, we saw John's reaction to the resurrection of Jesus. John, after seeing the linen cloths in the tomb, believed that Jesus has resurrected. At the time, it was practiced to wrap a deceased person's body in linen cloth. And when John walked into the tomb, he saw that they were rolled nicely and neatly and tidily in the tomb. And I think John made a point to write that because something unique must have happened inside the tomb. If there was a robber who came in, they wouldn't have unwrapped Jesus so tidily, right? There wouldn't be linen clothing there, because why would they unwrap Jesus and then take his body? Why didn't they just take his body with him, right? And if it was really a robber, why would they tidy it up? You know, something amazing must have happened inside the tomb. And just by seeing those things, John believed. But we saw that in verse 9, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, the disciples went away again to their homes." So John believed and understood the fact that Jesus came back to life. But knowing the fact is not enough, right? We need to let the Word of God tell us the meaning and the importance of Jesus' resurrection. So what does the Bible tell us about the resurrection? First, the resurrection means that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is Romans 1, verse 4. Then in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." The resurrection means that we have assurance of our own resurrection. Then, the resurrection means that Christianity and our God is unique and completely different from other world religions. And of course, the resurrection proves that though it looked like Jesus died on the cross as a criminal, he actually died as a sinless man, out of love, out of grace, and self-sacrifice to bear the guilt of our sin. The death of Jesus on the cross was the payment, but the resurrection was the receipt, right? God actually did it. The payment was paid in full. It was perfect in the sight of God the Father. But since John had not realized the meaning of the resurrection, he simply went home. Right? Isn't it such an odd reaction? He knows that Jesus rose from the dead, but he just went home. A lot of people that we know, they have heard of Jesus. Some of them grew up in a Christian home. Some of them went to Christian schools. Some of them have gone to church before and then left. They know him. They know Jesus only as a historical figure. That yes, he did come to earth. Yes, he did roam around and teach people a lot of these things. But they never know the significance of who he is. It's not enough that we know with our heads. We also need to know with our hearts. Okay, part two. In verses 11 to 13, we see that after John and Peter went away, Mary stayed by the tomb. It was likely that she didn't see the linens because of the two angels that she saw. One was at the head and one was at the feet of the tomb. She was so grieved and sorrowful, and she was fully convinced that Jesus was still dead. And then she turned around. And I want to zoom in on this passage because I feel like it really spoke to me and I want to share it with you all. She heard a voice talking to her. And she thought this man speaking to her was the gardener. Of course, we know that it was Jesus. Now, Mary was not like John. She didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead because she still asked the gardener, "Where did you take him? Why would you take him away?" Right? She didn't even dare to dream to believe that Jesus was alive. But Jesus, in his kindness, he met her where she was at. In her disbelief and her lack of faith, he took the first step and he was the one to call her Mary. And just like that, she recognized who Jesus was. In our walk with Christ, he has always made the first move. From the moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, God made a plan to rescue us. Jesus came to earth to be with us even in our unbelief, right? We love because he first loved us. He loved us before we even knew what that word meant. We didn't have to make that move. He did. And here, Mary, full of doubt, full of unbelief, she didn't have to do anything. He reached out and helped her believe. And there's more. In verse 17, Jesus said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father." I believe this is the first blessing that Jesus gave us after his resurrection. For those of you who don't know me, Pastor Salamat, who is here today, is my dad. And growing up, I am always his sermon illustration, so today I get to use him as my illustration. Haha. So I've always been a daddy's girl. My dad is my hero. He is who I look to when I'm scared, when I'm sick, when I'm sad. Until today, even when I'm sick, I know that he's the first person I have to go to. I know he will have the most powerful job, that is to pray for me, because he's a pastor. And I know that he will make me the best food to make me feel better. So I'm really blessed to have my dad. Now, I cannot imagine sharing my dad with anyone else. I have a story. So when I was 3, my dad, he was a pastor, but also teaching at a kindergarten. And I guess it was bring your daughter to work day. So I went with him to his work, and my brother was there too. And I guess I was really excited, right? Because, oh my goodness, I get to see what my dad does for work. But it was not as great as I thought it was going to be. I remember walking into the room so excited, and then my heart broke because we opened the door, and then what looked like a million other children rushed to my dad and said hi and hugged him and embraced him, and they were so excited to see him, and I was not happy. I bawled my eyes out and I said, "Hey, that's my dad. Go away. That's my dad." And as I was preparing this sharing, and I was talking to my mom, she told me that it took my dad a whole day to earn my forgiveness. So my relationship with my dad is special, right? And I think that's why what Jesus said here means so much to me. His relationship with the Father is far more intimate than what I could ever imagine my relationship with my dad to be. Right? He described his relationship with the Father as one. He and the Father are one. That's in John 10, verse 30. And no relationship can be closer than that oneness that the Father and Jesus had. Right? So how significant is it that after Jesus was risen, the first thing he blessed Mary and us with was this new relationship with God? That we too get to call him our Father. He is my Father. Out of Jesus' sacrifice, we become children of God through the spirit of adoption. Romans 15-17 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." We have a new relationship with God. We now get to be called children of God because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We are his beloved. And our identity as a child of God should bring us so much confidence, right? If we don't have this revelation that God is also our Father, I think we would still be living in fear, looking for his approval, thinking that he's far away and unapproachable. But we are called to be sons, to know that we are loved, not because of what we do, not perfection or not performance. We are loved simply because we are his children. Then we get to experience this intimacy and belonging in him. We get to call him Abba Father. As we all know, Abba is an Aramaic term of endearment, right? It's the equivalent of daddy. He is the one we get to go to when we're sad, afraid, upset, sick, happy, to celebrate, everything. He is our Abba. And not just that, we are known by our Father. He hears our voice when we cry out to Him, and He embraces us with His fatherly love. And He meets us where we're at, just as He did with Mary. And we get to enjoy the eternal inheritance that God has promised for us. This is the meaning of His resurrection. When we are called sons of God, we become heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. We get to sit at the table, dine with Him, live with Him. We get to inherit His kingdom and the eternal life that God has promised to us through Jesus. There's no more fear, no more chasm, no separation. We get to enjoy His kingdom now on earth and again later in eternity in heaven. So what great privilege it is that we get to enjoy this new identity. I am a child of God. This new relationship with God is the good news. But we all know that good news is not really news if we don't share it with people. If we have met the risen Jesus like Mary did, we would know, head and your heart would know, that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most important event in history. Jesus, who is God, came down to earth as human, fully human. He died. He completely died for our sins and conquered it once and for all. Right? He rose again from the dead, which means that He overcame it all. Okay, now let's go back to the passage and see what Mary did after she met the risen Jesus. In verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that He was the one who said these things to her. Imagine if Mary had met the risen Jesus, had got all of this revelation, that encounter with the Lord, experienced Him, and then just went home. Right? That wouldn't make sense. We saw that with John. He saw, believed, went home. What did Mary do? Mary ran and told the other disciples. Right? Because why would she keep it to herself? Why would you keep it to yourself? Right? Today we have the opportunity to share this good news with our friends and family who do not yet know Him. Maybe they already have a lot of head knowledge of who God is, but maybe they haven't experienced Him yet. Or maybe you know someone who is in need of the love of the Father. I want you to really take the step forward today as you go to work, as you meet the people around you, as you message your friends and family. Invite them to service tomorrow. Right? Invite them to Resurrection Sunday. Just like Mary, let's run a lot and tell them so that His Father, who is now our Father, can also be their Father. Okay, let's close our eyes. Before we worship, I want us to just ask God to place one or two people in our hearts. Again, it could be someone who has a lot of head knowledge of who God is and is waiting to experience the Lord. Or it could be someone who has never met Jesus, someone in need of a loving Father. Let's pray for them and ask God to embolden us to share this good news. I'll give you some time. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and so thankful that we get to call You our Father. That we get to experience You today and we'll get to live in eternity in Your resurrection in heaven. God, thank You that we know that nothing can separate us and take us away from Your love, now and forever. And Lord, we recognize that there's a lot of people who don't know You yet, who have not met the risen Jesus. Lord, I pray that we don't keep this news to ourselves, that we don't just go home overjoyed, of course, because you have risen from the dead, but we don't want to stop there. Lord, help us to be like Mary, to run and tell the disciples, to run with urgency, knowing that this news is too good to keep to ourselves. Nothing has ever come close to what has happened before. Nothing before has ever come close to what you did. God, you died and you rose again. A moment in history that lives on today. Yeah, Lord, we thank you again for just this great grace that you have shown us. Help us to share it with others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And stories of her. Think your life of her, the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell her that you're peace and that I'm never alone. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you.
Let us come up front and pray together.